Accession number 20461, reel 14.
So what happened, Ivan, when you got out of the trucks at Cahill?
Well, as I say, we had no inkling that anything was amiss. You know, we'd been up before, and it was the second time round, there must be something in it. And we started getting out and pulling our immediate things we needed. And then, as I say, for want of another word, it all broke loose. There was bombs, you know, you can imagine. Bang there and bang there, and a lorry catching fire just a few yards away. Another lorry up there catching fire, and all the drivers all screaming and shouting and hollering, and don't know what to do. No one to lead them to tell them what to do. Well, we jumped out. I jumped out with Swede, a bloke called Swede. He come from down to West Country, and we got off the road. There was a lot of shouting, and we didn't know where we were. And we got off the road, and we got just off the edge of the road and laid down for a while. And one or two of the chaps started moving. That's because it's how you're flat, and then the rise goes up like that sort of thing. So we crawled up a certain distance, you know, and started trying to dig in, and anyway we stuck it out there till night time, and of course the lorries were on fire. We pulled up further up, sometimes you don't know who's who in the dark. But they said try, and now it's quiet, now it's quiet down in the dark, so you can see the lorries, so it gave you a bit of light. Go back and get your stuff. So we went back and tried to got quite a bit of stuff out of it. That's what we did during the night. Every now and again they'd open up, but with the fires going off, but they thought they'd have burned themselves out, so no need to fire on the trucks. Also, who gives orders, I don't know, because it was confusion, real confusion. So we thought the best to try and get somewhere and dig in. So we got under this sort of a bank, and we started digging in there for a while. And then early morning, our sergeant said that we've got to move up, try and lie low. Lie low again, and then tonight we're going to move higher up, and they'd sorted out where we're going to stay, dig in and stay. And that's what we did the following night. We moved up there, and blimey, nothing about it now. Starving, you know. And also not knowing, so you don't know who they are, where they are. But you soon found out you was in a trap. You knew that because there was machine guns coming from there, machine guns from there, 75 millimeters up on the hill firing down. Anyway, we got up there, and at the time I was with Bobby Clinch, not Bobby Clinch, Freddie Clinch. Freddie Clinch and another chap, can't think of his name now. And we started digging, and we dug, moved the stuff out, and that's what we did. We got some bits of, during the night it wasn't too bad. Not at that time, two or three days, it was only daytime, you couldn't move. Anyway, we, cut down some bits of, not trees, but sort of bushes, and we, in front of our trench, we drove these down and made that more secure. And then we dug in, and every day during the day we dug in under the bank, kept digging under. We went in about 4 foot under the bank, and then we propped it all up, and that's where we stayed.
Where had you moved up from? You'd moved from the road up in towards the town?
Up, I know, we was at the above the tennis courts. Above the tennis courts, yeah. And at night time we could get down there and get a bit of timber at night time, and you know, to stop stuff falling in and propped up the roof. Because every time they opened up near us, we should get a fall of dirt and stuff on us. But that's it, that's where. And then the only time we moved out was when we went up to command post and out to shore the command. There was a command post there where our colonel was in there and his operator. We had to go up there, but that was getting a bit tatty, falling in and that. We went up there and spent a couple of nights up there working during the day. Then we, at night we, of course, no water. A 12-5 water, that was another, oh dear. We found water and then we lost it. And they found some, you've got to, I'll tell you what, see, there was one thing about it. There were some chaps there were soldiers, what I call soldiers, and they knew where the food was down by the bakeries. They knew that. They knew where the food was stored. They knew where the water was. And that, to us, I don't know what we'd done if it wasn't the likes of those. They were, there was a garrison there. There was a garrison there, and they probably weren't actual fighting soldiers, but they were there for protection, and they helped us out really good. And that's it made a hell of a difference. They could tell us, they'd say, well, the Japs are up there because they've took out positions that we dug a long time ago. They're in them. That's where they are. But we had nothing to hit back with.
I was going to say, did you have problems with ammunition and supplies?
No, we only had rifles, and we had one in our platoon. We only had one Bren. See, so you had to keep it. And it took us about 4 or 5 days before we got any grenades. We never got them till we went down onto the overlooking the when they attacked on the Coima. Boston Road, they attacked there one night I've never heard anybody else mention it, but we went down there this night, went down there with the, I don't know, A Company. Another thing I'd like to tell you is this. When I say A Company, you visualise a company, don't you? No, about a platoon. There's only about 200 of us on there. Can you imagine it? They say A Company went there and B Company went there. Yeah, bloody platoon. Perhaps about 12 blokes.
Can I ask you about the area? You say that you were on the tennis court.
Yeah.
Were there any other features around you you could recognise?
Oh, yeah, you had the tennis courts, you had the DC's bungalow, the tennis courts and that sort of thing, all down. We were above that, looking down. Yeah. Yeah, and what else? And of course, they quote ICI Ridge and all that. That was nothing to us. We didn't know what they were. So they said B Company were on so and so Ridge. Well, we only knew where we were.
They mentioned the tennis court. Could you see it was a tennis court?
Oh yes, but of course only for a short while. Only for a short while, mate. That's how it all got beat up. And I'll say, when we first got there, when we went the first time up there, beautiful. And we thought, had no idea, did we? And it was beautiful. My God, when we come out of there, every inch of this thing had a shell drop near it.
So you were mentioning the night, you'd been there about 3 or 4 nights and you went down the hill to the road.
We went down to see if we could find any more stuff, what was it, we found some ammunition and blankets was a thing. It was bloody cold there. We found blankets and that, and as I say, we made ourselves quite comfortable, really, you know. And our we knew if an attack was coming in where we were, you'd know in advance because of the ground, you know, where it come up like that. You know that you've got the advantage, and with grenades, you were well away. So, which they did attack two or three times, but that was hard for them. Doing a frontal attack and coming up a slope is, and that's what we found down on that road that night when I said to you, I've never seen anything mentioned anywhere about those horses. Do you remember I told you about the Japs attacked one night, and we heard all this noise and that coming up the road. There was a load of horses. They drove the horses forward, they come right, and then they attack, they come with it, and come up the bank. They attacked us up the bank, but of course, as I said, we were, that was already made by, you know, the people on the hill, so we were safe. All we had to do was, as they come up, just grenades. Piece of cake that was. Yeah, and they backed, as I say, they couldn't get anywhere. But later on, when sometime later, they said there was about 30 odd Japs down there, dead. Yeah, so that frontal attack again, see? But they were desperate to get up that hill, up that slope, onto that part there. And then later on, I know that I don't know where we got the mortars from, but we had a mortar section went down there and was stationed there, and they'd done a lot of good work, but then the Japs got them in the end, you know, got the guns on them. Yeah, one of my old Bryn Williams, Sergeant Williams, he was a lovely chap, he copped it there. Yeah.
So when you were in your positions on the tennis court, you mentioned that you'd gone up to the command bunker for a couple of nights.
Yeah.
Were you using your pioneer role to...
Yes, that's right, yeah.
Did you have a problem moving between the positions?
Not... well, if you can understand that... right. Machine guns firing. Somewhere, then quiet. That was the time we used to try to move. Sam was going down the water to get the water down. We used to wait till they'd done their regular fire, right? And then you got used to it because not knowing you don't know, but you have to remember there that they are not going to waste ammunition because they've had to haul that ammunition a long way. So you knew in your own mind, you begin to work it out for yourself. They're not going to waste their ammunition. So when they've done their nightly scare, as I called it, nightly scare, shouting out to you and all the rest of it, come over here. You, Johnny, you come over here and we'll make you all jebedars. That was a laugh. No, that one there. But that, the lull, that's when you really went into action. And that's when all our chaps moved around. If they said to come down, like when Harmon's done his bit there, they took them chaps out and put some more back in there, and that's, they've done that at night time. You could not move during the day, and as each day went on, it got worse.
So what would happen in the day if the Japanese saw any movement in your positions?
Oh, they're on to you, spot on. That's why you have to be very, very careful.
What would they respond with? Would it be rifles or mortars?
Mostly machine guns, yeah.
So how would you spend your day then, Ivan? What would you do?
Going off your head, mate. Yeah, just to, you know... did I see something? I think, you know, all that all the time, you know. Wonder what they're doing elsewhere, that sort of thing. Yeah.
You mentioned these Japanese tactics of frontal attacks.
Yeah.
As you've been there over that period of 3 or 4 days, You said you got used to it.
Yes, you did. I said, and then of course, I think it's about 4 days, 4 or 5 days. A runner come up from Captain Smith. He said, "You're wanted. Go with the runner to pick up the wounded. Bloody work, we had to take these wounded blokes up to the first aid post, like." And that's when I say that that was about 5 days. Well, then they found a, I think it was an Indian platoon found us a weak spot somewhere and got through, and we went up there and took these wounded and walking wounded out. We took them down onto the road, and they were picked up there and taken back. That I think about 5 days. Roughly about 5 days.
What did you have to do in collecting the wounded?
Stretcher bearers and stretching and that sort of thing, and walks, holding the those that could walk, holding their hand and sort of thing, and taking them down up the road. That was about five. I think it was about 5 days, and then I think and that was it. They just found out, so that was the end of that.
What condition were the wounded in?
All sorts of, you know, they'd been bounded up, some had been tied, you know, bandages and that, and, well, several were dead. But when we got them down onto the road, they were dead. But as I say, we had to get back again and get some, and pick up some more. I can't tell you what numbers were or anything like that, but that was it. And then, several officers. Yeah, several officers were killed here.
Which officers were with you at that time?
Smithy, Topham,
Major Winstanley?
No, not at that time, but he got wounded, but not at that time. Yeah, he got wounded, but they. That was later on, I think probably about 8 or 9 days. Because he was in command of Harmon. He was the commander of that section.
So was Harmon and Winstanley, were they with you in the siege? Or were they part of the troops further down the line?
No, they were in the siege. Oh, yeah. That's what I said to you. I was going to ring you have a yarn with him and tell him who I am and so forth, but I haven't got around to it. I don't know whether he'd appreciate it or not.
So what did Harmon do that won the Victoria Cross? What was his actions?
Well, what happened was this, because, I mean, we didn't know exactly what happened at the time, because it was round to our, on our right flank, yeah. He, what happened as far as I told you, he had a mate was with him the whole lot of time, but I've never found out what happened to him. And apparently he's the one that actually described what happened. First of all, he spotted a couple of Japs digging a hole, and he just picked up his friend, went down there and clearing them out. But then he realised that there was others down there, so he waited. Oh, he picked up that machine gun, brought the machine gun back. He realised that things were, you know, getting a bit hot. So he sort of waited and sized the job up, and in the end, as far as, I don't know how his brain worked, but he thought to himself, well, this won't do, we can't sit here, we're sitting ducks. That's about it, sitting ducks, because the closer they got, a few grenades over the top of you, and you'd had it. He couldn't stand it. He got up, and he went down there, and he cleared out. So I understand, under one or two machine gun posts, got down by the bakery, and chucked some grenades in there, and picked up another machine gun and walked back. And as he walked back, they in the back. And they, this young lad, so I say, he's a bit, I don't know how accurate I'm about it, but apparently they got him and dragged him back in. He almost got to the hot, to the trench, and they dragged him back in, but he died. Yeah.
And you feel that that was his response to the conditions that you were under?
Very brave man. So I say, when you think about it, we had everything going for him, but it wasn't enough. It had to be, didn't it? It had to be, yeah. Yeah, did well. Yeah, did well.
So the situation that you're in, you mentioned that, that were you always trying to find areas in Gainer to get through to the other
Route? Oh, yes, yeah, yeah.
Was there patrolling at all?
Patrolling. Yes, I suppose it was patrolling, but you see, you can't patrol where you don't know where you are, can you? You can't do it. See, this is it. We got out there, we went down, we went up there and took and got up on the top of the hill, and then found that other place where we took the other wounded up there, and when we got up there, there was confusion. Some of the doctors were dead, and the chaps were crying in the trenches and that, all that sort of thing. Oh, bloody hell. You know,
And the Japanese would try and find these points.
That's right, yes. Yeah, they were desperate, see. They were desperate to... the Jap commanders, see, they said, we've got to get this. This is it. We must get this place. That's how it's told to us. And they done everything they could, when you think of it, they'd come hundreds of miles, with mules and donkeys and elephants, you know, and then us coming up from India with tanks, bloody great guns and all, but a bit late. if they'd worked it out earlier, realised what was happening, wouldn't have been necessary, would it?
At the stage you were at Kohima, were there any tanks there at that time?
Only, I would say, about 12 days. Well, we were there 16. About 12 days, they had tanks, but they weren't useless. They ain't got the firepower to get... See, they were having to bust their way through the roadblocks. And it wasn't easy. The old Japs, see, the chaps were all waiting for them, but eventually... armour and the armour we got and the tanks and the artillery coming up and the infantry, that's really saved us.
You know, when you were in the siege, did you receive any air support? Those first three or four days?
No. We had air support for food, water, ammunition, but no strikes. No, strikes were later. And the strikes were over Imphal, because they'd captured Imphal, the Japs, and so the airstrikes. No?
So you didn't have any airstrikes at that point, but no. You had air supply?
That's right.
Yeah. So what would happen? Was that a good air supply? Would it land on the area that you were in?
Not at first. No, it went down. The Japs had a lot of the stuff. Especially the mortars, which we needed. Yeah, we were actually told, old Smith has told us, he said, well, we can do with a lot of mortars, he said, but he said, I'm afraid the Japs have got them. And a lot of our medical supplies they got. So what they did, we were told, anything that didn't matter, petrol and that sort of thing, water, was Hessian parachutes. They were Hessian. If it was a silk parachute, that was medical supplies and food and that sort of thing. Yeah.
So you could distinguish between the parachute?
Yes. Yeah.
Did that improve then?
Yes, it did. Yes. Oh, yes. Once the I suppose through air they get through and say, so and so, you know. Captain Smith said that things would improve. He says, once we got the parachutes laying, when you took your stuff off at night, the parachutes would be laying there, and when the aircraft come over, they knew exactly where to drop.
Yeah. Were they laid out in a...
We had a D-head up there on the top, and that's where they missed it at first, but gradually they got the drop of it.
And how would you retrieve the supplies?
Well, just up night time again. Yeah, night time. But the old Japs, they had one or two fixed lines. So you had to find out with the tracers where they were. Yeah, and that's how you had to work. Mind you, I will admit, I went up there once to carry stuff down, but I wasn't involved with that because they got these non-combatant blokes running around there. They got them to do it. They got them on that job. They got them digging as well when all them wounded. They got them digging them the wounded in, which we didn't have no part of that.
Were they based further up the hill?
Yes, yeah.